Chapter 14. Fahl. Orbital. The battle barge Abhorrence dwarfed the Achilles as the Space Marine vessel moved closer to receive a shuttle from the naval patrol ship. Standing out further in orbit were a dozen other ships of varying size and potency from a number of different chapters. Not all of the successors had yet responded, but Courland had weighed up the number that had arrived against the urgency of the situation, and he had decided the time was right to hold council. Marshal Beaumont of the Black Templars had agreed to have the Abhorrence act as host for the chapter council, as not only was it the largest vessel in the system, but Beaumont was the longest-serving chapter commander present. On the shuttle heading for the Abhorrence, Courland sat across from Lieutenant Greydove, who had insisted on accompanying the Space Marine to his destination for the sake of appearance. To his credit, the young commander had obliged Courland's demand to come to Fahl without complaint, and once the Achilles had been set on course, the lieutenant had run a sharp, disciplined crew. "What do you hope to achieve?" asked Greydove. The lieutenant leaned forward as far as the bars of his grip harness would allow. "Do you think the authorities will allow you to get away with this? You've gone rogue, Captain, is what they'll say. They'll hunt you down."
"Who will?" said Courland. "The High Lords? The Adeptus Terror? The Inquisition? They have far greater concerns at the moment."
"That may be, but I can see that you are not wholly comfortable with this." Courland remained silent for a while. There was no reason to indulge the naval officer's curiosity, and he owed no explanation for any other reason. For all that, Greydove was right. Courland did have reservations, exceptionally grave ones. He would not be able to share them with the successors, not without causing offence or sowing doubt. But they gnawed at his thoughts. The lieutenant made as good a confidant as anybody.
"Beaumont," said Courland, "Marshal of the Black Templars."
"What of him?"
"He has a reputation. More than that, the Black Templars are a force apart. They claim lineage from Rogal Dorn, as do the rest of us, but they cleave to their own code and practices. I do not know if I can find common ground with him. He is headstrong."
"Stubborn? Surely you can gain the support of others and win him over."
"If that is how it is, I will be well pleased. However, I think that Beaumont may raise objections, and I do not have authority to bargain with him."
Greydove looked as though he was about to speak, but after a glance at the Space Marine, he shook his head and remained silent.
"What is it?" demanded Courland. "What are you thinking?"
"You are the last of the Imperial Fists," the lieutenant said hesitantly. "That makes you, by default, chapter master. You are Beaumont's equal."
Courland considered this. "By default? That is no great claim to position."
"I disagree. In your case, it is the greatest claim. The rest of the chapter perished, but you survived. That makes you not remarkable, but miraculous. Surely you have the blessing of the Emperor."
"Superstitious nonsense," grumbled Courland,
but the lieutenant did have a point behind the religious facade.
"There is something to what you say. However, will the others agree with your position, or simply see an upstart captain demanding action of his superiors?"
"That very much depends on you, Captain," Greydove said quietly. He looked at his hands clasped in his lap, his gaze flicking up occasionally to Courland. "You showed no lack of authority in taking my ship."
"That was little challenge," said Courland.
He saw the shame and hurt in Greydove's gaze and realized that he was misunderstood,
not because of you, but because of me. I am of the Adeptus Astartes. My size is intimidating, and the legends that surround my kind give me gravitas not even the greatest of naval officers could match. I could be the least of my chapter, yet even knowing nothing of me, mortal men cannot help but defer to my will. If it is of any merit, you should know that you have my respect, and, I believe, continue to have the respect of your crew."
With a slightly abashed smile, Greydove met Corlin's gaze.
"It is of merit. Thank you."
The smile faded, and the lieutenant's brow furrowed.
"But why should you care? Forgive any impudence, but why would a captain of the Imperial Fists be concerned about the feelings of a lowly naval lieutenant? Surely you have weightier matters to focus on?"
"Credit and honour to those who have earned it," said Courland. "I make no exception in my remarks, for your conduct has been as worthy of praise as if you were a sergeant under my command who had shown similar qualities."
The two of them fell silent, leaving Courland to contemplate the exchange. A few minutes later, the clank of the landing gear on decking announced their arrival aboard the Abhorrence. Grey Dove released his harness first and stood up. Corland waited a few more seconds, gathering his thoughts.
"What is the worst that could happen?" said Grey Dove.
"The last of the Imperial Fists will be ridiculed for his pretensions of grandeur, so that the memory of my chapter will end not only with extinction, but infamy."
"All right," said Grey Dove, taken aback by Corland's bleak forecast. "And the best?"
"The successors acknowledge that they must come together in the Imperium's hour of need, and we are able to destroy the beast."
Corland thought about what he said, comparing his goals with the price of failure. He pushed up his harness and faced Grey Dove, offering a hand in friendship with a smile. The lieutenant took it.
"You are right, of course. The rewards outweigh the risks. The cause justifies the action. Even if I am to be plunged into ignominy, there is still every chance that my brothers in the other chapters will be able to make common purpose. Thank you."
"You may not believe it, but I think that the Emperor has chosen you for a greater purpose," said Grey Dove. "Of all the Imperial Fists you have been spared, it is an honor to be the last, not a burden. I know nothing of Space Marines and their ways, nor of your chapter, but in the small time since we met, you have proven to be resourceful, determined, loyal, and courageous. Everything the legends tell us to expect of the Adeptus Astartes. Your brothers, those that were left at Adamantua, would be proud to have you represent them."
Corland smiled at these words, and yet what might be hollow, thoughtless praise struck a chord in the captain. He did not believe himself chosen by any higher power, but he was certain that he would carry himself according to the best traditions of his chapter. He was an Imperial Fist, the Imperial Fist, and it was in his power to make that mean something. The door hissed open, and a ramp clanged down to the landing bay deck. A squad of Black Templars, their burnished ebon armor gleaming in the baylights, waited with bolters at the salute. With them stood a warrior in more ornate armor, a red-crested helm under his left arm, a drawn power sword in his right hand. The officer stepped forwards as Corland descended the ramp. The Black Templar raised the hilt of his sword level with his chin, blade upright in a mark of respect. Corland placed a fist against the edge of his chest in reply.
"I am Castellan Claremont. I am to convey you to the Marshal and Chapter Masters."
The Castellan lowered his sword and carefully sheathed it before offering a hand in friendship. Corland shook it gratefully.
"My thanks for the welcome, Claremont."
The two of them started walking across the massive bay, their escort falling in behind as the pair headed between the dormant Thunderhawk gunships.
"It makes me realize that I have been too long from the company of my fellow Space Marines."
"You are amongst brothers again, Corland. Harbor no doubt in that regard."
It took a few minutes to reach the hall where the council was to be held. Claremont announced Corland as two Black Templars swung open the great double doors and then led the Imperial Fist's captain within. The hall was bedecked with trophies and banners, every square foot of wall covered with gilded skulls, tattered remnants of enemy standards and icons, pieces of tile, timber and masonry from conquered citadels. The floor was obsidian, as was the long table at which sat the Council of Chapter Masters. The four of them turned questioning eyes on Corland as he entered.
Beaumont was instantly recognizable, sitting at the head of the table, flanked by two banner-bearers carrying the chapter standard and a long pennant in the colours of the Marshal's personal heraldry.
Claremont advanced ahead of Corland to join his commander and the group of Space Marines around him. Corland also recognised Issachar, whose pale armour was in total contrast to Beaumont's. The chapter master of the Excoriators was well known for his bionic arm, which was a plated mass of bare metal and cables, more precisely known for the manner by which he had come to need it, following an overly competitive honor duel with Marshal Beaumont during a previous disagreement. His artificial fingers tapped out a complex rhythm on the surface of the table, which stopped when his gaze met Corland's. The chapter master's false hand formed a fist that moved to his forehead, lips, and chest in quick succession in a sign of fraternity. Corland met the gesture with a simple nod. Behind Issachar stood three warriors, one in the livery of the chaplains and two that bore markings of the librarium. The Black Templars occasionally threw menacing stares at the pair of psychers, but the excoriators feigned ignorance of their brother's antipathy. Opposite Issachar was a warrior that Corlin did not know. His armor bore no livery at all, the drab-gray ceramite colored only by heat swirls and splashes of dried blood. Only one chapter that Corlin knew of did not paint their armor. The Fist's Exemplar. The warrior was flanked by a space marine bearing the burnt remnants of a trapezoid banner and another with a long spear held in both hands. Last at the table was Chapter Master Cassadra of the Crimson Fists. The Crimson Fists were almost as numerous as the Black Templars' contingent, with two banner bearers, a cup holder, and three more space marines with thunder hammers held across their chests. Their commander's armor was highly polished, shining in the light that spilled from the chandeliers above the table, shoulder pads inlaid with sapphire-like stones, the red circled fist of the chapter icon picked out in delicately faceted rubies. Cassadra regarded Corland in the same manner a warrior might size up a potential foe, mentally measuring his capabilities. To Corland, it felt as if those bright blue eyes were stripping him down to the soul, and he was relieved when Cassadra turned his laser-like gaze on Beaumont. Faced with the grandeur and panoply of these mighty leaders, Corland felt inadequate in his plain, damaged battleplate. Doubts crowded his thoughts as he advanced across the tiles, the clang of his tread echoing around the large hall. Who was he to call upon these leaders and legends? Grey Dove was a normal man, easily impressed by those with superior physique and skill. The warriors that awaited Corland at the table were of an order far above a lieutenant in the Navy. Corland realized that his actions were not those of a brave survivor, but those of a foolish, petulant child. How did he dare refuse the will of the High Lords? What did he hope to achieve here? It was petty of him to place his desires above the needs of the Imperium. The worst conceit was the notion that he could still make a difference, that somehow he could single-handedly save the reputation of the Imperial Fists. What arrogance, they would say. Stopping beside the chair at the bottom of the table, directly opposite Beaumont, Corland paused and took a deep breath. He looked at the officer from the Fists' Exemplar. "I am Corland of the Imperial Fists. I have the honor of knowing the names and titles of the others assembled here, but I regret that you have me at a loss." "Thane," said the Space Marine. He hesitated before continuing, a flicker of a tick in his right eye. "Chapter Master Thane, these last few weeks." "By my honor, I make acquaintance," said Corland, bowing before he seated himself.
"You are welcome, Captain Corland," said Beaumont, his voice booming across the hall. "There is sense in us coming together to share intelligence of the foe and strategy for their destruction. We have spent some time appraising one another of our efforts, and I do not wish to waste time repeating such reports. But for the benefit of our new arrival, I would make a quick summary of the situation." Beaumont looked around the table, and there were no objections raised. "Good," he continued. "The Orcs continue to press towards Terra on all fronts, and the situation, already dire, is threatening almost total collapse. Almost. Having extracted our brothers in the Fist's Exemplar from their fortress monastery, I have been calling together several crusades still operating in the Segmentum Solar. As you might expect, there is little to appeal to my marshals in these relatively calm systems, and so the majority of our crusades are much further from the Imperial Center. It will take time for them to arrive. Such calmness has occluded proper recognition of the threats at hand," said Issachar. Beaumont scowled, perceiving the comment to be an accusation, but he pressed on with his report without argument. "It has fallen to us, and the Crimson Fists in particular, as well as chapters of other heritage, to wage the mobile war against the Orc attackers. The Imperial Navy stands almost idle. We have filled the breach as best we can, but we have not the numbers to stand and fight at every contested star system. The Orcs move closer and closer to Terra each day, while the Imperial Guard twiddle their thumbs on their mustering fields, and the Imperial Navy watches with disinterest.
If I could spare the bolts, I would fall upon these traitors myself. But the orcs are enough opposition for the moment. When the orcs are driven back, there will be time to punish those who have so easily forgotten their oaths. Report arrives daily of another system fallen, another orc incursion, all encountered to the ravages of the beast, said Cassandra. We attack when we can, but we kill hundreds when we need to kill thousands, thousands when we must slay millions. We come to the aid of the Imperium as ancient oaths decree, but the Imperium seems unable to fight for itself. Not since Ulanor have we seen such a greenskin threat. Their numbers are beyond measure, and matched by greater cunning than we have ever thought possible. Even as the orcs are coordinated and focused, the forces of the Imperium are scattered and beset. Let us not forget the sacrifice of many brave thousands that have given their blood defending their homes, added Fane. They have taken a toll of the alien invaders, too. A few of the Space Marines bowed their heads in silent thanks. Corlan did likewise, remembering his dead Wall Brothers. Yes, but the sacrifices will not be swiftly concluded, said Issachar. He glanced at Beaumont and received a nod of permission to continue. The issuing of the last Wall Protocol is a grave matter, but I think it is just this situation for which the Primarch intended it. The Imperium is beset by a foe that will likely triumph over other forces. No chapter alone can stand against this menace, and so the bonds of old, forged by the Emperor's hand and broken by the dictate of the Lord Commander, must be joined again. The Sons of Dawn will stand united once more. Indeed! Beaumont's voice boomed across the hall. It dropped in volume as he continued with furrowed brow. I was surprised to find that it was not Cassus Mirren that had sent the herald signal. The chapter master is dead, replied Corland. A tragedy we have recently experienced, said Thane, nodding in sympathy. He was a great leader. You are the surviving ranking captain, I assume? The only survivor, said Corland quietly. And tell me, Captain Corland, why is it that you come here alone, aboard an Imperial Navy vessel, no less? Asked Beaumont, darting a look of annoyance at Thane's interruption. Where are your warriors and the rest of the fleet? You call us to the last wall, and yet you come alone. You misunderstand me, brothers, Corland bowed his head. I was not the only surviving officer at Adamantua. I was the only survivor. Silence greeted this declaration. Cassandra started to say something, but the words died on his lips. Corland looked at each of the Space Marines around the table and saw the same emotions in their expressions. Hardened warriors brought to a standstill by confusion, anger, pity. It was the last that caused him the most pain and sent him surging to his feet. The Imperial fists are no more, he said, and speaking aloud the fact made the shame of it surge through Corland. Save for me, they are all dead. He swallowed hard. He had faced death without fear 1,000 times. He had been wounded 3 times grievously, and now ripped back from the edge of oblivion by the ministrations of the tech priests. Even during the horrors of Adamantua, Corland had never felt scared, not truly. To stand here and say what he was about to say was the most terrifying experience of his life. He did not know what was going to happen as soon as he uttered the words. The future was a black abyss, waiting to swallow him. But there was nothing else to be done but to plunge headlong into its dark embrace. He looked at each of the chapter masters in turn and said the words that no Son of Dawn wanted to hear. They were words that signified loss. More than that, a defeat so great, so shameful, that to anyone not of the Imperial Fists or successors, the words might seem trite. Yet to those who had Dawn's gene seed, it was a statement that would make such honored blood run cold, an admittance of the worst failure imaginable. The final wall has fallen.